Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration by the same Lord, and there are differences of administration, but it is the same God.
Use it. Come on, you need to clap your hands properly. Y'all need to clap your hands properly. Y'all don't sound excited. Oh, that's weak. That's weak. It's weakish. Huh? Listen, you know why I like church? Because church is the one place where we can truly leave behind the blows and the slaps that life disturbs us with. And we can come into a place where our souls are refreshed, our minds are refreshed, our emotions are refreshed. And I'm telling you, you may not have noticed it, but one of the things that happens is that as you leave after a church service, you feel calm.
Oh, yes.
You feel refreshed.
Oh, yes.
You feel that something has been recharged in you.
Oh,
that's why I like church.
Yes.
That's why I like church. You know, and it's a very good reason for you to be excited with church as well. Yeah. Because apart from here, most of the other places you are in, they come with buffetings and problems. Some of you, your boss likes shouting. I don't want to say it's from a certain place. It likes shouting. So, like, when you hear his voice, then you panic. Your blood pressure is going up. But that's why once a week we gather to be in the presence of the living God.
Hallelujah.
To be in the presence of the Spirit of God.
Yes, yes.
For the Spirit of God to brood over us. To settle on us. To calm us down. To refresh us. To recharge us. So me, when I finish and I'm blessed because I get to do 3 services every weekend. So by the time I finish his prayer, I see that the battery is charging.
Nice.
And then Sunday, I top it out. So Sunday, by the time Shine service ends, I'm limp, very calm, I'm okay, I'm ready for the week. And that's how God intends it. That's why God made a way by sending his son Jesus Christ, so that you and I could enter his presence and experience times of refreshing. So I want you to understand that as you are here to experience times of refreshing. The word of God is here to refresh you. It will come with some bullets. Some of you, your number will be dialed tonight. Especially when your pastor has a prophetic unction. Sometimes the example is direct. But despite that, the word of God will not wound you. It's only going to make you better. And it will leave you refreshed. You're going to go home feeling much better than when you were. Some of you, by the time you leave here, your migraine headache would have disappeared.
Amen.
You're feeling calm. Yes. You're feeling much better.
Oh, yes.
And that is the beauty of the advantage we have being believers and being in the house of God. So tonight, I want to welcome you to the His Presence service.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Where the presence of God is. You know, and I want to guarantee to you that you're going to walk away from here renewed,
Amen.
Refreshed with
Amen.
A new zeal for life,
Amen.
A new strength,
oh, yes.
and a new joy, most importantly. Now, tonight I'm happy to announce to you that we have a very wonderful preacher.
Oh, yes.
A very wonderful preacher. Somebody who I am becoming aware that he increasingly preaches rare messages. rare messages. You know, I have a friend in the UK, and last year they hosted Bishop, and after the service he called me. He said, "Listen, I've never heard any preaching like this before. I've never heard preaching like this before. And I said, "Oh, you Bush, I've hosted him for some 3-day convention. I have not seen anything. But you and I have the privilege of hearing him every week.
Oh, yes.
Live and colored with a ringside seat.
Yay.
That's the gift that God has given us. Hallelujah. It's a gift because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Some people, are you shutting me down? We don't deserve it. But God has given it to us.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
we are some of you, as he's preaching, you are dozing. But tonight I believe that God is going to bless us through him.
Amen.
God is going to speak to us through him.
Amen.
God is going to impart something supernatural into
yes.
our lives through him.
Yes.
So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your excitement level is.
Yay.
But one of the signs of excitement is to clap your hands.
Oh.
One of the signs of excitement is to make a noise.
Yay.
You can even jump around.
Hey.
But join me.
Yes.
And let's welcome to
Yay.
This service.
Yes.
The Bishop.
Yay.
Edwin.
Yay.
Morgan. Oko. Come on. Make some noise tonight. His presence service.
Yay.
Make some noise tonight. Make some noise.
Ear.
Come on, make some noise.
Yes. Yes. Ask the person, wait for an answer. Ask your friend, are you happy? She says she's very happy. Then clap your hands.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands and let's share a word of prayer. Father, Jesus, we are very grateful to you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We ask that you speak to us.
Speak to me.
Send your word.
Send your word.
Send your word.
Oh, yes.
Send your word.
Send your word.
Send your word.
Send your word.
Refresh us.
Mandala, Madosha,
bless us with your word.
Refresh us tonight.
Cause us not to be the same again.
Yes, yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes,
you
yes.
You may be seated.
Oh, yes.
And ushers, let those who come late come in and sit down. Tonight, I'm continuing to share from God's word.
Yes. Yes.
It's a time to have a little Bible study. And then we are going to break up into our church groups. Amen. And everybody must have a church group you belong to. Everybody must have a family in the church you belong to. And the family head must make sure that it's a nice family. And I'm continuing to share with you some reasons why only a few people are chosen. Because Matthew 22 verse 14 says that many are called, but only a few people are chosen. Why? How many of you want to be chosen by God? Do you want God to choose you or you want Satan to choose you? Are you aware that Satan is also choosing people? Well, I'm asking a question. Are you aware that Satan is also choosing people? And 70 of you want Satan to choose you. Or they are not here. They didn't come. So how many of you want God to choose you? Do you know that God has got good things? And God's good things are given to the people he chooses. So it's so sad that only a few people are chosen. A few means that there are not many. A few means that just a little. So, if only a few are chosen, then it means many people are not chosen. Or most people are not chosen. And if you are not chosen, it means that Satan is going to choose you. How many of you want to be available for Satan to choose you? So tonight, we want to look at one reason. Just one reason why only a few people are chosen. I don't want you to be available to Satan to choose you. Because when God has finished choosing, the rest who are not chosen, they are available to the devil. You are either being used by God or you are being used by the devil. There's nobody who is neutral. So tonight, I want you to determine that you are going to Let God choose you. Lift up your right hand and say a gentle prayer to God and say, Lord, please choose me. Just say a little prayer, just inside your throat. Just speak gently. Tell the Lord to choose you. Tell him to choose you. Tell him you are available for him to choose you. God has good things. He has blessings. Every nice thing is from God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. He is the only source of good things. Satan is the source of wickedness, destruction, and everything. Lift your hands and just say gently, just gently, Lord, choose me. Lord, choose me. Lord, choose me. Lord, choose me. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that it is possible for you to be chosen by God. You can become God's friend. You can have a close relationship with God. If God has biscuits, he will share it with you. If you are not chosen, it means you can't get some of his biscuits. Yes. Only Satan's things will be given to you. So today, we are still looking at the story. You remember the story? I wonder if you remember the story, this story in Matthew 22. I just want us to read the story again. And then, you know, the more we read, do you enjoy reading the story? So the more you read, the more you understand, the more you hear God speaking to you. So we start that Jesus spoke a parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them. Let's read it from something a little. Do you have the New King James Version? So something softer. So he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. One thing I want to say before we go on is that a lot of things in life will not make sense. And they will not make sense because Satan is in charge. So let me tell you two things. Most of the things you see around will not make sense for two reasons. One is that even the things God does will not make sense. Like God will choose someone like you.
It doesn't make sense.
You should be smoking weed by now. You should be out of your mind by now. Doesn't make sense. God's blessings don't make sense. When God blesses you, many people will ask, Abba, why this person?
Why?
I mean, I'm there. Why did God choose this girl? I mean, look at my pretty face. Look at my body. Look at my body shape. Even me, I don't have a husband. Then this girl who is flat, she has a husband. Because God is no respecter of persons. Man, like you, like me, we respect persons. But God doesn't respect persons. Today I went for a funeral. And I saw some of my seniors in the secondary school I attended. And I was surprised that, I mean, those guys when we were in school were from very rich parents. Very, 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 very rich. I mean, a lot of money. Students were richer than bank managers. A lot of money. Lot of money. And I saw many of them. What amazed me was that I was driving the car they were also driving. It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? I mean, looking at secondary school trend,
when they start
today, if they are driving, let's say, Mercedes-Benz, I should be driving a Picanto second-hand Dio Matisse. But I was surprised. I took note that we all went to a funeral, some old boy, you know, and we all came from the same cast. And I realized that what God has done for me doesn't make sense. And that's what he will do for you also.
Amen.
And it's only because I gave my life to him.
Wow.
And he blessed me. Yes. I mean, some of you girls know that you are in school with very pretty girls. Even the teachers are chasing them. Yeah, the French teachers, especially. Yes. But you'll be surprised that if you walk with God, in 15 years' time, you will have a nicer life than the girls who are nice and they look, they have everything, they have fingernails, they have hair, they have everything. God's blessings don't make sense. The kind of people God chooses, does it make sense? He chooses people that you will not choose. When people hear that I'm a pastor, they are surprised because, I mean, I wasn't impressive, couldn't speak well, stammering, hitting my thigh before I speak. Then I'm the one rather doing the work of speaking. God will choose you. Anyone here who feels you don't deserve to be blessed, you don't deserve to build a house. When you see your friends, you can understand how your friend can build a house. Or your friend can marry. But how can you build a house? But I'm saying to you that God will bless you.
Amen.
So the first that God's things, God's, the people God chooses to bless, doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Then number two also is that the people Satan uses, their behaviors don't make sense. It's bizarre. One of them is that there's a wedding, come and eat free food. And you are not willing to come to a wedding to come and eat. Does it make sense? Yeah. You find a girl, a beautiful girl. I'm sure there are two here. A boy is beating you, and you are in love with him. There are two like that in the cell. Your behavior is bizarre. Yeah. I mean, it's a long time I saw somebody has been slapped. Even if it's a policeman, don't slap. And you are a girl, a boy is slapping you, beats you. Then when you go home, you are missing him. Doesn't make sense. That's low.
Nothing makes sense.
So, how many of you prefer to be in God's hand to do things that don't make sense? To bless you in a way that doesn't make sense?
I like that.
To prosper you in a way that, I mean, some of you are here. Your family, as far as you can remember, there's nobody who has built a house. The family house you are in is a mud house, which was built by your great grand uncle's friend. But I see God blessing someone. I see God prospering someone. Hey, it doesn't matter how you are now. It doesn't matter. Don't look at yourself that you are a poor person, you are nothing. Give your life to Christ properly. In 5 years' time, you'll come to church in a car.
Amen.
He'll give you peace of mind.
Amen.
He blesses.
Amen.
This, if you check your Bible, this story is in red. It's Jesus' story. That God also gives things. When you walk with God, it's not just prayers and dreams and visions and you see angels. No, God also gives hair. God also gives a nice cream. God also gives fingernails. God also makes your skin nice. God also gives you a nice place to sleep. God also gives you a nice perfume to wear. I mean, some spot of Dior. Father, bless these people.
Amen.
Bless these lovely Christians. Let them experience your goodness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Let's read the story. So they were not willing to come. So again, are you reading? Look on the screen. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cow are killed, and all things are ready. And normally, such feasts, you eat and leave some. Some of you, when was the last time you ate and left some? Like we say in Ghana, some remained. Can I see? When was the last time? Is there somebody here? Oh, they are begging us. You didn't ask. How many of you remember that, know that it's a long time since you ate and you had some leftover food? The last time you didn't finish eating, you were not well. You were not well. Even that one, you woke up later and cleared the rest. I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed. And all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Come. They're not buying food. Come. But they made light of it. You remember, I taught you that one of the reasons why few are chosen is that a lot of people make light of it. They take it lightly. Don't take your sitting here lightly. It should mean something to you. It should mean something to you. On Saturday morning, you should iron your clothes. That is those of you who iron. You should prepare your things. That you are going to church. Don't take it lightly. And when they are ways, and one to his own farm, another to his business. The rest sees his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. And the reason why people don't last in the kingdom is that they don't respect the leaders in the church, the servants. You know, this nice service we have, they are servants here. They are fellowship leaders, bus center leaders. They are servants. You've got pastors here. You must respect them. Don't throw stones at pastors. I will advise you, no matter what you do, don't be friends with anybody who disrespects pastors, even when the pastors do not deserve your respect. Don't do that. I saw yesterday my son showed me a little story on the internet of a girl. I mean, education was difficult for her. You could tell by the way she speaks. I even suspect she was financially hard up. But she forced and forced and finished law school. And is a lawyer. And she's just finished. She just graduated. And she feels that's a great thing that God has done. She's in a very big church. somewhere in Africa here. So she says she wants to share her testimony, how she became a lawyer. As I'm standing here, I'm a lawyer. I mean, God has done something great. I'm a lawyer. Does it make sense? And as she shares her testimony, even the English is not very beautiful. Then towards the end, as she's finishing, the pastor of the church tells the whole church that she's lying. Yes. Because if it were you, you also don't believe that she said. Then the pastor asks the girl, what type of law did you say? Law, I'm a lawyer. And he said, what degree? You know, LLB. You know, and the girl said it's BSc law. Which is not really the right answer. So I can understand the pastor. If you are sharing a testimony and you say you did BSc law, and your English is also not good. I mean, because there is nothing like BSc. There's BSc biochemistry. There's BSc physics, BSc. Agric. Oh, I mean, the girl said you are lying. Don't come and lie here. There's a very, very big embarrassment. Not only that it was true that the girl was a lawyer, but she made a mistake to say that it was BSc law. Oh, they descended on the pastor. They embarrassed the girl, this. But the girl did a video with the pastors. Said, these are my pastors. He said, what happened in the church embarrassed me. I was very sad. But I cannot rise up against my fathers. I can't rise up against my spiritual father. Yeah. I can't do that. So those of you writing things about the church, it's wrong. You can't do that. I'm with my, this is my father, this is my, whatever it is, I can't insult my father because he has embarrassed me. I mean, if it were you here sharing the testimony, then you were shut down, that you were lying, we won't see you in the church again. It's over. You will not see you again.
Join the madmen who write on walls.
There you go. You just start writing. Lighthouse again. But I was really very touched by the girl. But I would like to send that girl a gift. Wow. I would like to send that girl a gift. God's servants also make mistakes. But the principle is that you don't take your mother's wig to slap her. You don't do that. You just can't do that. So this is what happened. I said the story because there are people like that. They seize God's servants. They treat them badly. And then kill them. Don't join them. Look in front. Look here. Don't join them. Don't join people who insult pastors. If you do that, God will not choose you. One sure way to remove yourself from God's list is to treat the people God is using with disrespect. So let's read verse 7. So when the king heard about it, he was furious. So he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. May you be worthy.
Amen.
So go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then the verse 14 comes. "For many people are called, but few are chosen." So tonight, the lesson we learn is that one reason why many people are not chosen, few are chosen, is that they don't have the right garment. Can you go back to verse 12? Let's see. They don't wear the right garments. "Friend, how did you come here without a wedding garment?" So Jesus told the story to make a certain point that the Christian life is like a wedding. Good food, good life. You eat things you don't buy. That's the life in Christ. If you go to, nobody goes to a wedding with his packed lunch. Like you are going for the wedding, then you have your gobe with zomi to the wedding. No. You just dress, and when you have you seen somebody going for a wedding, then he stops by the roadside and buys his own Fanta. Buys his own Coca-Cola. Auntie Sissy, why are you buying the Fanta? "Oh, I'm going for a wedding." Have you seen some before? Have you seen this before? No. Nobody attends a wedding and buys his own food. You don't even go to a wedding and pay for the food. That is the life God has invited us to. Most of the things you will enjoy as a Christian, you have not paid for it. He pays for that life, and you come to enjoy that life. You don't have what it takes to pay for this life. The life, this Christian life, where you are soon going to marry and have a husband with three children, your background cannot pay for this life. Your background can only pay for a life where you have three children with five fathers. This life where you don't drink, you don't smoke, you are not fornicating, you don't have gonorrhea. No. The life, you see, the Christian life is a life that we just enjoy. You can't pay for this life. You can't pay for it. This is the life that the people were not willing to enjoy. Can you imagine a girl who is not willing to have a wedding and have a nice life with two children, but she rather wants to have a life where 14 men are sleeping with her and she can't even have a child? Because all her womb is just infected with diseases. Is that, you saw it there. Verse 2 or so, verse 3. And they were not willing. There are people who are not willing because the truth is that the life at a wedding. Ah, I forgot to tell you. This type of wedding, not only was the Coca-Cola and the Fanta free and the food free, the clothes were also free. In the Middle East, when you went for a wedding, the garments for the wedding were at the door.
Wow. Okay.
You are given a garment and then you wear it into the place. You may not understand it because that's not how our weddings are. But there are some, if you read other translations, let's see the amplified version. He said, "Friend, how did you come in here without wearing the wedding clothes that were provided for you?" Doesn't make sense. Free garments, free Coca-Cola. Free food. They didn't want it. So the story is simple. Because this guy didn't have the right garment, I'm now ending the message. He did not spend a long time at the wedding. You know, I got born again 40 years ago. I entered church like you are sitting here. I wasn't going to church. I gave my life to Christ and entered church. And I've been in church for the past 40 years. 40. Some of you sitting here, next year, by this time, you will not be in church. You would have gone back to your gambling, betting, drinking, fooling with area boys, destroyed your life.
You didn't last.
You didn't last. How many of you want to last in the kingdom? You want to last in the kingdom. You want to last in the kingdom.
Yes.
Can I see your hand again? I wonder if you want to last in the kingdom. You want to last. Now, if you want to last, then make sure you have the right garment. You see, all of them entered. Remember, go back to verse 10. So the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests sitting at the banquet table. Verse 11. When the king came, so they were sitting down. I'm sure there was a little music. Then the king came in. That was when he saw a man who was not dressed appropriately in wedding clothes. So this man who was not dressed well had entered the wedding feast. He was there, but he did not stay there for long. It was just a matter of time and he was removed. Me, I'm praying for you that you will be here in 40 years' time. You'll be here in 40 years' time. And what will make you stay in church for the rest of your life. Remember, the Christian life is likened to a dinner, a wedding dinner. Some people stayed at the dinner till the end. May you stay as a Christian till the end of your life. I said, may you stay as a Christian till the end. May you not backslide in 10 years' time. May you not backslide in 4 years' time. May you not backslide in 20 years' time. Yes, may you have your children in church. And may your children have their children in church before you die. In the name of Jesus. So today, the problem is the wedding garment. The wedding garment. If the Christian life is like a wedding garment, it's like a wedding, then what is the garment Christians must wear? What is the garment Christians must wear? How many of you want to know the garment you must wear? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. But notice it, they were clothed with white robes. This is the vision John saw. They were clothed in white robes. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 8. I know your works. Let's go to verse 5. He said, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3, jump to verse 18. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Because gold makes you rich. Anybody with a cement bag full of gold, it's rich. And white garments, that you may be clothed. So you've seen that the garment for the kingdom is white. So there have been churches that wear white garments. White garment churches. My dear friend, our garments we wear at our wedding is white garments. Paul said, God is coming to take a church which is without spots. Without spot or wrinkle. The church God is coming to take with him is a church without spots. That is, it is white. That he might present her to himself a church, glorious church. Glorious is a beautiful church. And our beauty is in the whiteness of the dress we wear. There are many, many ways beauty is defined in many different ways. There are some cultures where to be beautiful, you must put a ring inside your mouth. And your mouth is, the bigger your lower lip, the more beautiful you are. Everyone, every culture has what it calls beautiful.
You are teaching.
I don't think that in Ghana here, if a woman has a ring in her lower lip and the lip is so big, I don't know. We don't see it as beautiful. Yeah. In certain countries in Africa, Southern Africa, beauty is determined by some teeth you remove. So when you smile, there are holes in your teeth.
That is beauty.
Yeah. So when you smile in those countries, even East Africa, it's like that. When you smile and your teeth are full and white, you are an ugly woman. You are all ugly women. You are all ugly women. You are ugly. If you want to be beautiful, you have to take out your teeth. I think the Maasai's are like that. There are some cultures, if you want to be beautiful, you have to enlarge your ear and put things in it to widen it. So you look like a bird about to fly. Different things. We too. Our beauty is in the dress we wear. It is white. We are a white garment, glorious church. And white stands for holiness. In the spirit. When God comes. That's why I read Revelation 7. Verse 9. The people who were on the throne had white garments. In the medical school, the students who are in the medical school are top science students. They pick them from secondary schools, Presec, Augustine's, WAS, Ganata, Adisco, best top. They put them together, medical school. So when you enter the medical school, they are all powerful science students. You don't start becoming good in science in the medical school. You start becoming good in science in your secondary school. That is where you get your 85, 90, 72. Your failure is 70% physics. So when you go to heaven, the dressing there is dressing that was picked from the earth. The earth is the secondary school. And God will pick only the white garments and take them to heaven. That's why when he saw the vision, everybody there was wearing white. That white robe was what how they were dressed on earth. Anybody who had spots on earth was not allowed in heaven. They don't sew clothes in heaven. There are no tailors in heaven. It is how you are on earth. That will show how you are in heaven. And the reason why people don't make it to the end. Let me tell you, my dear friend, no matter how much God is blessing us here on earth with Mercedes-Benz, houses, good food, whatever, the real life is in heaven, eternal life. And you must make it here so that you see, the people God chooses, he takes them to heaven. Me, I'm praying that God will choose you. And he chooses the people whose garments are white, pure, holy. That's why Ephesians 5 says that the church that God is choosing, our beauty, see, a glorious church, our beauty is not in our hair. It's not in our lower lip. It's not in the teeth we have removed. Our beauty is not in the ears we have enlarged. Our beauty is in the whiteness. There should be no spot. Once he sees a spot in your garment, you are out. Holiness. Righteousness. When you fornicate, there's one red spot. When you watch pornography, 6 pink spots. When you steal money, 1 brown spot. When you are jealous, 1 green spot. When you bet, those of you who are bet, any match you bet, you earn a spot. Any match you bet, there's a purple spot. Spiritually, there is no sin that is neutral. Every sin you commit affects you. Every sin introduces a spot. My dear friend, the church we are in now In the world now, pastors don't talk about sin. Fornication is not mentioned from the pulpit. Adultery is not mentioned. I mean, it's a church where we preach prosperity, we preach marriage, we preach a good life, we preach a nice life, we preach a nice marriage. But ladies and gentlemen, the people God chooses are not married men or unmarried men or rich men and or poor men. The people God chooses, He chooses them based on the whiteness of their garment. You can't be here and be living in sin. You can't be here and keep your boyfriend. Anytime you have sex with somebody you shouldn't have sex with, you earn yourself a red spot. There are young men in this section here who are having free sex with girls in your area. They're here. The last four rows, they are there. You are making it difficult for yourself to remain in the wedding feast, wedding banquet. You can't stay here. The longest you will spend here will be 3 months or 6 months. Holiness keeps you here. You can't be here and be sleeping with somebody's husband and think that it does not matter. It matters. It matters. It matters. You can't live anyhow. You can't steal. You can't be a thief. And think that it doesn't matter. It matters because it shortens your stay here. It shortens your stay. Anytime you sin, and the white garment is about even sexual immorality, you can't. You can't. You can't just behave anyhow and remain here. It's not like because we come and we sing praise and worship songs, we are eating, we are dancing, we are friends, that you two, you are among us, you are having sex with boys, you are having sex with girls, you are into pornography. Here, every sin matters. Some of you, you look like you are wearing batik. Different colors, tie and dye. I'm saying to you, my dear friend, the reason why people are not chosen, why only a few are chosen, is that a lot of people don't have white garments. The fact that you are a dancing star does not allow you to masturbate and have pornography as your daily meal. You can't. You can't. You cannot be impure. When you enter the wedding banquet, you must break up with the girl you were having sex with. You can't bring that life here. It doesn't work here. Here, the only sex we have is with our married husbands and our married wives. You and your wife. That's all. The fact that we are happy here, we are dancing, we are singing, we are happy, and so don't get it wrong. Don't get wrong signals. We are not just here living anyhow. You can't stand here and preach and be a thief stealing church money. You can't. No, I'm making it clear that you will not last here. You see, the life of sin you live will not make this place a comfortable place for you. You can't. So, apparently, everybody who went managed to wear white. You know, sometimes we are soon going to have film stars in this service who some 10 minutes will give you to act. They act. And some of the things, some of the skits, they act. Sometimes they wear white. Maybe if it's some heaven something, they wear white. Or angels. So, I mean, some of the things they act here. The role you play requires that you wear white. But sometimes when you are sitting there, you can see that the guy, see, you can see through the white that his jersey, his Barcelona jersey is under the white. Okay. I mean, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? But you can tell that this guy, yes, they are acting. I'm just saying that I'm showing you something that somebody can be wearing white, but there is a garment under it. His original garment is like red and white, or GTP, or Woodin shirt. And he has worn a white robe and he's playing the role, he's acting an angel. Ladies and gentlemen, the garment I'm talking about, the white garment, is not something you wear over your boyfriend or you wear over your pornography. You have to remove what you were wearing, throw it away, and put the white garment on. We don't wear the white garment over our blue shirt. You remove. We don't wear choir robes over our sexual immorality on the stage. We don't wear our dancing stars uniform over pornography and foolish living. You remove your clothes and wear a new one. Because there are many things you can do to act righteous. Right now in this service, we can assume that all of us are the wedding feast and we are all wearing white. But what were you wearing this afternoon? The white we wear, we don't only wear it in the church. You wear it in school. You wear it in the classroom. You wear it in the dormitory. You wear it at home. You wear it in the office. You wear it on the bus. You wear it in the toilet. You wear it in the bathroom. Your dress is always white. I'm making it clear to you. Maybe no pastor has said it clearly to you the way I'm saying it. I'm saying to you that in the kingdom, we do not live sinful lives. The Bible says the one who believes in Jesus Christ cannot sin. Watch out. Don't think that the Christian life is just church attendance. That you just come to church. Some of you have just come and when it close, you go and you are going to your life. There's no life anywhere. The life there and here and there and there and those everywhere is a white garment life. It's a white garment life. In the kingdom, before you enter, the garments are there. They are provided. You have to take it, go to the washroom, remove your t-shirt, remove your yellow shirt, remove your red shirt, and wear it and enter. Because the type of white it is, we see through. I said the type of white material we use in the kingdom, it's a see-through white material. We can see the spots under. We can see the blue under. We can see the polka dots under. We can see the jeans material under. The white garment is a see-through garment. You have to take off. Take off the boy. Take off the girl. Take off the pornography. Take off the sex. Take off the perversions. And wear the holy white robes. Otherwise, you'll be surprised that you know last year. What makes it difficult for people to be in the church? A lot of it, 90% is sin. Then the 10% have the in the church, they are in the church, they are sinning, but they have seared their conscience. You can't. You cannot be betting and be here. You can't be stealing. You can't live an unrighteous life. Disobey God's word. When God says something, that is righteousness. Doing what is right. And here, what is right is not the laws of parliament. What is right is in the Bible, the law of God. If parliament says that a man can have sex with a man, we say thank you. But we open our Bible and we look inside and say, what does the Bible say? One reason is that people are without the wedding clothes. People don't wear the wedding clothes. They don't have the right garment. Our garment we wear is white. It's white. You can't come and wear the Christian life over your sexual life with your married man and with their boy is under. Then you put the white under. No, we see through. We see the man's shape. We see the woman's shape. We see the blood stains. We see the green stains. I'm saying to you that we see the stains on your in your dress. We see through. The white garment is spotless. Anything under shows through. It shows through. Tonight, I've made it clear to you. Are you ready to drop your sinful life? Are you ready to drop the boy? Drop the girl? Drop the friends? Drop the married man? Drop the fooling? Drop that and take on the garments are there. If you are interested, you can wear it. That's how, we are standing here spiritually. You see, I'm wearing blue physically. Spiritually, I'm wearing white. Once I begin to put spots in it, it means that you see every spot shortens your half your stay here. Soon you say you are in the church, but you're not enjoying the church. You are losing interest in the church. We call you don't pick because a man is sleeping with you. Your spirit will not be comfortable here. You can't continue having sex with a girl, sex with girls, and still be here. At a point, you will react to the atmosphere. And this place will not be a place you want. That's why the master, read the Bible well, the master spotted him. And the man, he was in the banquet hall. He was sitting down. He was by a table. I'm sure they had even started serving some starters. But he was thrown out. He said, bind him, because you can't be here with pornography. You can't be here with fornication. You can't be here with adultery. No matter how weak you are with girls, you cannot be here with that type of life. Stand to your feet.
Wow. Wow.
Wherever you go in this life, I play golf. In Achimota. You can't go and play golf with a shirt like this. You can't. Even if you are wearing the right golf set, you can't throw it over like this. It's tucked in. When they see you walking around with your shirt over, they'll tell, please dress properly. There's a dress code everywhere, in the bank, in offices. There's a dress code. You can't be here and wear anything you want to wear. You just cannot. You will be picked up and thrown out by life. You can't. Watch out. Those of you sitting here having sex arbitrarily, you have a boy, you are a shepherd, you are a thief, you are a shepherd, you are sleeping with your church members. A girl gives her life to Christ. You are doing follow-up and you are sleeping with her. You are in the church under the pretext of being a church leader. You use your authority in the church to sleep with girls in the church. Be very careful. It doesn't work here. You will soon be bundled out. You'll soon be bundled out. Also, what do we do? The Bible says, let thy garment always be white. Yeah. The whiteness of your garment. He said, let thy garment always be white. The whiteness of your garment depends on you. You must be vigilant that whenever, Ecclesiastes 9:8, let your clothes always be white with purity. And do not let the oil of gladness be lacking on your head. But the first part is that you must let it. There's a certain vigilance, alertness. Today I went out. Maybe I did something which put a spot. You take the blood of Jesus and you wash it away. Always ready, because when Christ comes, there should be not even one spot. Not one spot. Let your garment be white. So you are always on the lookout. Always checking. Is there a spot? The way I looked at the girl, maybe a spot has come. And you wash it with the blood. You are vigilant. Let your garment, for your garment to be white, even though you were supplied with the garment, it depends on you. Let your garment be white always. If nobody has told you, I'm informing you. The church is not a place for just any kind of living. You are a liar. You talk anyhow. You don't respect. There are laws. Sin, which colors your white dress, is the transgression of the law. If you have married, your wife is the only person you can have sex with. You cannot have sex with another, your wife's sister or your wife's friend or the girl typing letters for you or the girl you send to town or the girl. No, you can't. You can't. Even the fact that you are in a relationship doesn't allow you to have sex. It's on the wedding day, the night of the wedding day. That is what we say as Christians. You are allowed to touch a woman and touch her body and touch a man. You cannot be here. Even if it's a man, the married man, he says that he likes you. He says that he has found out to his sorrow and shock that his wife is a witch. Yeah, then he himself is a wizard to have married a witch. Leave him to suffer. Leave him to suffer. Don't let a man who is married to another woman use you to solve his feelings problems. You can do that. And understand that it's life outside. Here, you cannot add a married man to your life. You can't add a girl you are not married to your life. You make sure always, have I told a lie? That's why we confess our sins. Confession of sins is not even practiced today. When a pastor says, let's confess our sins. Hey, has the pastor gone to sleep with a girl? Has the pastor done something? Why is he always talking about confession of sins? But the problem. Christians, they confess in the morning and they confess in the night. Let your garment always be white. It depends on you. Tonight, I want to say to you that maybe you got the wrong signals. You got the wrong impression. You can't live anyhow here. There's a way we live here. It's called righteousness. Yes, we are joyful. We are dancing. There's joy. There's happiness. But we are not just happily sleeping with ourselves and happily pornographing and happily stealing. No, there's a way we live our life so that our garment will always be white. And tonight, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you are here, and I know you are here, and you know that your garment is dirty, the last thing you can talk about is a white garment, because the spots are multicolored. Every eye closed. What do you say, Pastor? I want the blood of Jesus to wash my sins. I'm living in sin. I'm a sinner. Pastor, pray for me. I want the blood of Jesus to wash me, to cleanse me, to purge me, to remove any sin, any suggestion of a sin. Pastor, pray for me. Lead me in a simple prayer. I want to give my life to Christ. I want the blood of Jesus to wash me. If you are here like that, as every head is bowed, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. If you want me to pray for you, that the blood of Jesus will wash your sins, then lift your hand high. Yes. If you feel that you've sinned, there are sins in your life, and you want the blood of Jesus to wash your sins, this service may be the only hope, the only opportunity. Lift your hand high. Pastor, I've been living in sin. I didn't know it. But as you are preaching, I realize that I'm so full of sin. I've been doing many bad things. I need Jesus' blood to wash me. If you are here, lift your hand high. Pastor, my sins must be washed. My sins must be washed. Oh, lift your hand high. I want to see that your hand is up. And if your hand is up, I want you to come to me here. Come. Come to the front here. Come here. I want to pray for you here. If you want the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away, back. If you want, are you an usher? Come here. Your work does not involve calling people forward. What did you call him forward? Leave him. You yourself, are you correct? You yourself standing there. Are you chewing gum? Is it chewing gum in your mouth? Sorry. I'm asking a question in English. Is it chewing gum you have in your mouth? As I'm preaching, you are chewing gum walking around here. You should be the one standing here. If he wants to come, the decision to surrender to Jesus, it's a personal decision. God must work on a person's heart. Yours is to bring the person to church and leave the word of God and the Holy Spirit and the power of God to do his work. If he's coming and he's limping, you see he's coming but he can't walk well, you can carry him to the front. Anybody who wants to come forward here, you want Jesus' blood. You want your sin to wash, to be washed away. You feel you need Jesus. If you don't feel you need Jesus, you can stand there. You can sit down, actually. If you feel you need Jesus, come to the front now. It's your decision. Come.
Use it for your glory, Lord. I offer my praise to you.
God bless you. God bless you. I want to tell those of you who have come to the front here, look at me, please. We are going to pray. But look at me carefully. What you've just done, coming forward, I did that 40 years ago. There's nothing I'm asking you to do that I have not done. It's been 40 years, 40, four decades, I've been in the church with Jesus. Nobody forced me. The Christian life is not the life you can even force someone to live. You choose based on the work God has done on your heart. You decide to follow Jesus. So I'm telling you that it's not that I've called you to say a prayer. I say a prayer, you say after me, and then when you finish praying, you go back and you continue living your life. No. It's an invitation for a turn around. For repentance. That I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going there anymore. That's the song we sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
Do you want to follow Jesus? To follow Jesus means day after day, you are following him. I'm saying again that I've not invited you to come here, say a prayer, go back to your old friends, to your old life, to that sinful life. No. Then this is not a prayer. So if you are ready to live the life, it's a life, it's a whole life. The pastors, I think, should come this way. Why are you taking them to down there? You don't do that anymore. We come here. Say this prayer. So the reason why we come forward is that when you come, then you are now available to pastors to work on you, to help you, to pray with you, to counsel you, to guide you, to correct you. When you pray this prayer inside the crowd, you are not available to be helped. Say after me, Heavenly Father. Say, my Father in heaven.
My Father in heaven.
Close your eyes and say, today.
Today.
I've heard your word.
I've heard your word.
I realize I am a sinner.
I realize I'm a sinner.
I've done many bad things.
I've done many bad things.
I am not white.
I am not white.
I'm not pure.
I'm not pure.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
But I know that the blood of
Jesus Christ
can wash me. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Make me clean.
Make me pure.
Make me white.
Oh God.
Today. I ask for forgiveness. I'm not going back. To my old friends. To my old life.
No.
I'm starting a new life.
Please help me.
To obey you.
To live for you.
Please help me.
To follow you.
Have mercy on me.
From now on.
I am a born again Christian. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to obey God's word. I'm going to be stable in the church. I'm going to walk with Jesus. Have mercy on me. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So as I told you, the pastors are going to meet with you. They are going to talk to you. They will help you. If you have questions, ask them. Whatever you want to know, they are pastors. They will help you. And your life will not be the same again.
Amen.
They are waving their hand there. Please go to them. Keep clapping your hands. Let's welcome Bishop Kobe to close us.
Oh, wow.
Come on, let your hand clap it proper.
Yes.
Let your hand clap it proper tonight.
Yes.
Bishop, thank you very much for a beautiful message.
You
know, Bishop said something which is very true, that today sin is not talked about in the church.
Oh, yes.
It's almost become an old-fashioned thing to do, to preach about sin. But that's the number one reason why Jesus came, to save you and I from our sins. Yeah. I pray for you that your mind will always be on your white garment. And the things that cause spots and wrinkles. Take out your communion tonight quickly.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood.
Lift up the bread. Please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Don't sit down yet. Whether you have communion or not, stand to your feet. Lift up the bread. Say, this is the body of Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Jesus Christ.
Say, this is the body of Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Jesus Christ.
Say, as I eat it.
As I eat it.
I receive help.
I receive help.
I receive power.
I receive power.
I receive grace.
I receive grace.
To keep my garments white.
To keep my garments white.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus
Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal. The meal of God. Sustain you, it will make you whole, give you life. When
lift
I
up your cup,
the blood.
The cup contains the blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
Without this blood, our garments cannot be white. Tonight, as you drink the blood,
Jesus,
may your garments be white.
Amen.
I said, tonight, as you drink the blood,
yes,
may your garments be white.
Amen.
May the blood wash your garments.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus.
Drink it.
Oh, when I see the blood.
Now lift up your two hands.
Oh, yes.
I declare that you are receiving grace.
Amen.
grace to preserve your white garments.
Amen.
You're receiving the blood that washes away the spots in your garments.
Yes.
I pray for anybody here who is under the power of iniquity and sin.
Jesus.
Tonight, you are being loosed from that power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I speak to vices.
Jesus.
Pornography,
Jesus.
Gambling,
Jesus.
Alcohol,
Jesus.
Drugs,
Jesus.
Addictions, perversions.
Jesus.
I command them in the name of Jesus to lose their hold
Amen.
Over your life.
Yes.
May your garments be made white.
Amen.
And may it stay white.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Clap your hands for Jesus, and you may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.